rooted in Christ. As you turn over to Colossians chapter 2, please notice up here, either in your Bible or up here, we have Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7 together. Would you say them with me? Colossians 2, 6 and 7, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." And again, Colossians 2, 6 and 7, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Colossians 2, 6 and 7, our theme verses for 2017. And so, rooted in Christ. Heavenly Father, please help us this morning, our attention to be captivated by your word, by your presence. Oh God, that you would be exalted, that our hearts would be altered. Oh God, that you would meet with your people and that your people would know that you met with them. Lord, I yield myself with humility. I have not anything of myself but whatsoever you give. Dear God, I yield myself. May all things be to your liking. Oh Father, that you would work. For it's for Jesus' sake, in his precious name, I ask this. Amen. Please notice Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. Colossians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, read the next words with me. By the will of God. The apostle of Jesus Christ, together, by the will of God. Rooted in his will. Today's title. Rooted in his will. I have 9 aspects. I could, you know, there's really more that are flowing as well. This is not exhaustive in terms of God's will. This is just tapping the surface, but these are 9 aspects of God's will. All right? And so rooted in his will. Please notice the great apostle Paul, a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, as he is used of God to pen this epistle, this letter to the Colossian church, to the Colossian believers. He introduces himself as the apostle, the servant of Jesus Christ, and he says, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. And so, can I ask you the question? Paul here testifies that he is walking in the will of God. Are you? Are you? Is it fitting for you to say, yes, today, I am walking in the will of God? A servant of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Please notice down in verse 9 of this chapter, verse 9, as this vein, this topic continues in a few places throughout the book of Colossians, we notice verse 9, "For this cause we also, as he's reminded of their faith in Christ and all this, he's rejoicing, but he says in verse 9, "For this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be," read the next words with me, "that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will." Let's say that again. "Might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, filled with the knowledge of his will. This is Paul's prayer. This is Timothy's prayer. As under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they pen these words, the very words that God wants them to write. And as they pen these words, as the apostle is moved by the Holy Spirit, the great prayer, the great heart of God for his people is that they would know the will of God. You see, God has a plan for your life. Are you rooted in it? Are you rooted in it? God wants you to know his will. Please notice chapter 4 and verse 12 of Colossians. Chapter 4, verse 12. Here in the closing of this letter, the Apostle Paul references a few fellow laborers, a few brothers in Christ, maybe even some sisters here, I'm not even sure. I haven't examined that aspect, but you know what? Here in verse 12, he writes about this man whose name is Epaphras. And he says in verse 12, he says, Epaphras, who is one of you. All right, he's a Colossian, okay? He's one of them, but he seems to be with Paul. He's not in Colossae. All right, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you. He sends greeting. Hello. Epaphras says to say hi. And I'll tell you, Paul says, I'll tell you what he's been doing. Always. That means consistency. Always laboring. Oh, fervently. I mean, this guy's serious. Epaphras is not a, you know, easy come, easy go. One here, you know, here and there, a little hit and miss. No, Epaphras has been very serious. He's one of you. He cares about you. Even though he's not with you, he loves you and he is in prayer always, seriously, fervently, earnestly. He's been praying for you. Laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete, read it with me now, in all the will of God. Wow. I mean, these Colossians, they can know the will of God. Paul says, as he opens the book, I'm in the will of God. And he says, I want you to know the will of God. And he says, Epaphras, one of you, your brother, he's praying always, earnestly, fervently, that you would be right there in the will of God. Wow, that's great. Are you rooted in God's will? Number one, God has a plan for my life. Say that with me. God has a plan for my life. Emphasize my. Say it again. God has a plan for my life. Yes, he does. God does have a plan for your life. Just like he has a plan for the Colossian believers that comes through with the Holy Spirit's guidance as the apostle pens the words. And so God does have a plan. And we saw there in verse 9 of chapter 1 of Colossians that Paul's desire, that God's desire is that these people and that you would know the will of God. Please notice in your Bible in the book of Psalms, Psalm 139, please notice beginning with verse 13. 139, verse 13. God, using David to pen these words, says this, for thou hast possessed my reins. Lord, you're in control. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Wow, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. I'm still with thee. And here's an amazing reality that God knows everything about you, and God has a purpose for your life. God brought you into this world. God did the choosing in a lot of areas, and he has a plan for my life. Please go over to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29. Please notice verse 11. This is in the context of God speaking to his people Israel, but there's application for the believer today. Jeremiah 29, God speaks these words to them. Verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you." Remember, David said that the thoughts that God has toward him can't be numbered. They're more than the sand. And now God reiterates that he has a lot of thoughts toward his people. "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me. And ye shall seek me and find me." Together, read it with me. "When ye shall search for me with all your heart." God says, when you get serious, I want to lead you. I want to open up the plan I have for you. I want to show you my will. Are you rooted in his will? He knows the plans he has for you. Do you? He's willing to show you if you're serious. Number two, God's will is both general and specific. When I think about God's will and being rooted in it, not only does God without doubt have a plan for every one of us. There is a general plan. God's will is not that any should perish. Not even one. God's will was not that a Cain, we read it in our devotions yesterday, that a Cain and Abel, that a Cain would perish. God would have Cain to be saved. I don't see an indication that he is, but God's will would have been that everybody in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, everybody could have been saved. God desired that. He's not willing that any should perish. God tells us, what is it, 2 Timothy or 1 Timothy chapter 2? He's calling us to pray for kings and for all that are in authority. And it goes on about verse 5. It says, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto a knowledge of the truth. It's his will. Whether it's a Barack Obama, our former 44th president, Or whatever the case, God's desire is that all men would be saved. So that's a general will of God. God's will for the believer is that every believer would be holy. That's his will. That's his plan. You'll never find it where God wants you to walk in sin. Not a once. Never. Always holy. His general will. There's so many things. The list could be very long of God's general will for the believer's life. God wants every Christian to be a testimony to the world. A gospel testimony, a gospel witness. We are his witnesses. That's God's will. That's his plan. God wants every believer to be a part of his church. That's just God's plan. That's his will. And the list could go on. But God does also have a specific plan for your life that's unique from others. His general will is the same for every child of God. In fact, as Jesus prayed in John 17, his will is that we would be with him. Where he is. And that's going to happen, amen? I mean, he's with us now, but one day it'll be a little richer, a little more grandiose. What a special day is coming in the will of God. But there's a specific plan he has for us. The Bible tells us in Psalm 37, verse 23, that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Not the life of a good man, not the vocation of a good man, although God does all those things as well, but God breaks it down into the steps. Daily, nitty-gritty, the little things. The daily journey, the daily grind. God says, I have a plan in your daily life. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Who's the he in there? Who's the he that's delighting in his way? Well, I think both. Because I think the good man who's walking in the steps that God has for them is going to delight in what God's doing. God, your plan is perfect. He's going to delight. But also, God delights in that man, in that woman, in that child who's walking in his plan, in his steps. God says, wow, that brings me glory. That brings me great joy. And so there's delight all around. It's a good place to be. The specific will of God. God does have a specific plan. Think about how God used some Bible characters like Moses. God had a specific plan that Moses would bring the nation of Israel out of Egypt. Jonah had a specific plan, at least at a point in his life, where God wanted him to go and preach the gospel to Nineveh, or actually preach judgment. David was chosen by God to be the king of Israel, amongst many other things along his life. Esther was chosen at a major point in her life to deliver her people from the coming doom. Paul, the apostle, was called to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, by and large, as well as many other things God had for his life. Sometimes when we look at people's lives, we just see the big picture, like I just mentioned. We don't recognize that there's steps that are the perfect plan of God. You see, we can be in the will of God today, whether we're 5, whether we're 50. We can walk in the will of God. And so let's continue on. Notice this, James chapter 4, verse 15. I'll quote for you. For that ye ought to say, James 4, 15, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. James challenges us to not just make all these plans. Hey, we've got some business ventures here. We're going to go to this city and buy and sell and, you know, make a good profit. That's a great plan we got. James says, whoa, 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 whoa. Did you check with God on that? If the Lord will. It's not some kind of thing, well, oh, whatever God wants, I guess will happen. You know, let's just, you know, not make too many plans. No, that's not what God's saying. God is saying, in all thy ways acknowledge me and I'll direct your path. Right? You see, that's what God is saying because he wants to direct our steps. And so are we going to let him? Are you in the will of God? And so, notice Colossians chapter 1, verse 25, back over here this book, Colossians chapter 1, and verse 25. Here we are. The Bible says, Paul the apostle says, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God. which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Paul says, you know what? This is what God called me to do. This dispensation, that's God's plan in this time. Or in this case, you know, Paul is thinking, this is God's plan for my life, to do his will, to do his word, to do what he's called me to do. And so God is working here in the apostle's life. Notice number three, not only is God's will both general and specific, but God is personally involved in his plan for me. God is personally involved in his plan for me. I'd love to share another passage. Let's go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, beginning with verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. That means he separated him for a special use. I sanctified thee. I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. I'm immature. I'm not able to do this. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. And be not afraid of their faces. Say it with me now, read with me. Be not afraid of their faces together, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. That we could go to many passages to see how God is personally involved in his people. Not only his knowledge of us in terms of our down sitting, our uprising, how many hairs are on our head, and you know, all this stuff. I mean, God knows it all, but God is personally involved in implementing the plan, in enabling his children. You see, he is the great enabler. And so, consider that. In Psalm 32, verse 8, the Bible says, I will instruct thee, God says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. God says, look to me. Look at me. I'll guide you. Personally involved. And so, number four. God's plan for my life cannot, absolutely cannot be improved on. You will never be one up on God. You'll never find a better plan, a more perfect plan. God's plan, it's right there. Absolutely perfect. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Tells us that we should not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that, say it with me, you know the verse, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God says, turn away from the world, turn unto me, and the world will see my wonderful plan carried out in your life, my perfect plan. 1 John 2, verse 17 says, the world passeth away and the lusts thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The world passeth away and the lusts thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. If you do God's will, if you walk in the steps that he has for you, I'll tell you, it's a sure foundation. It's an eternal plan, not just that one day the destiny's heaven. No, but it's an eternal fruit, eternal accomplishments, eternal reward, and a different person you become. So, God's plan cannot be improved upon. Number five, God's plan is not likely going to be easy. Oh, it's a great plan. But our master, our creator, our designer has also really exclusively designed that we're going to just absolutely need him. Won't make her without him. Mm-mm. Not in any way. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. For Moses to follow God and to bring Israel out of Egypt, was it easy? Was it easy? No. For Jonah to go to Nineveh, was it easy? No. For David to be the king of Israel, was it easy? No. For Esther to take a stand, to risk her life and deliver her people, was it easy? No. For the Apostle Paul to preach the gospel, to travel around the world and to tell people about the love of Jesus, was it easy? No. No, and your road won't be either. Please go over to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. If I can find 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. And let's go to verse 17. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. It's better, God says, to do what's right and no hardship, and to do what's wrong and no hardship. Far better, he says. And now let's notice another verse, chapter 4, verse 1. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, what's those next two words? Arm yourselves. Wow. Likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Look at verse 12 here, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not, next word, strange. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the, next words, fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Wow. Verse 19 of this same chapter. Verse 19. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the, say the next three words, the will of God, commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Wow. And so that hastens us to the next point. Not only is God's will not going to be easy, but God's plan for my life will entail many steps of faith. Hebrews 12, verse 6 says, or 11, verse 6 tells us that without faith we cannot please God, right? Not going to happen. You can't do the will of God without faith. We walk by faith, the scripture says in a number of places, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5, 7. And so God's plan is going to take many steps of faith. Faith is dependence upon God, claiming what he said, resting in his word, in his promises, in his person, in his character. I mean, just trusting God. That's what faith is. You'll never do the will of God without taking daily steps of faith. Number 7, God's plan for my life is not automatic. I realize that for those of us who have entered into the beginning stages of God's will, such as salvation, I realize there are things in God's absolute masterful design and his amazing grace. I'm telling you, amazing grace. There are things that God will do. There's a purpose that will be carried out. But I'll tell you what, on the other hand, there are some real things that won't be a reality that God had for us if we don't walk with Him by faith. God's will is not an automatic, especially when I refer to the specific will of God. Notice Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. We can remember it. There, Epaphras, this Colossian man, was praying earnestly, fervently, consistently. What? That they would walk in the will of God, in the perfect plan, that they would be in His perfect will. Why was he praying? Because it's not an automatic. It's just because you're saved doesn't mean you're going to automatically live all that God intends for your life. You see, it's a day-by-day walk with God. Please notice 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 8. After a long, or not that long, but after an encouraging list of some wonderful things that God wants to be in our lives, he says these things in verse 8. For if these things, what things? The godliness, the brotherly kindness, the charity, and all the faith, the virtue, all that stuff. For if these things be in you, if you really grow in Christ, if these things are in you and abound, in other words, if they're just overflowing in your life, if you're really, really walking with God in a very vibrant way, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things, this Christian growth stuff, he that lacketh these things is blind. In other words, I'll show you a man who's saved, but who doesn't have a clue about what God's will is. Yeah, because he never grew. He hasn't submitted in the step-by-step in the nitty-gritty. And so the big stuff, it's all a blur. Can't see a thing. He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. He's very, very short-sighted. And hath forgotten. Uh-oh. Forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Here's a man who doesn't even feel saved. Here's a man who, a person who is saved, but who is not so sure that he is. He's forgotten. Wherefore the rather, brethren, oh brothers, it would be far better for you to grow. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. I mean, this is serious. You got to take this seriously, friends. The will of God, walking step by step in the plan that God has for you. He says, take it seriously. This is going to take diligence, focus, commitment. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. I mean, not only make sure you're saved, make sure that you're trusting Christ alone and not, you know, your good works or your performance or whatever. He said, make sure you're trusting Christ alone and his finished work on Calvary. Make sure of that, but make sure of his calling on your life, what he wants for you, what his daily plan is. Make sure you're walking in that. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Amen. And so, God's plan for my life is not an automatic. Number 8, God's will for my life is more a relationship than a mere vocation. Yeah. We read in Ephesians 4, verse 1, I therefore, Paul, as a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Yeah, God wants us to walk in a way that pleases Him. But you know what? His will is not as much that the Apostle Paul would be a preacher to the Gentiles, as it was that the Apostle Paul would walk with God. Because if the Apostle Paul is walking with God, he would be able to sing in the Philippian jail. If the Apostle Paul is where God wants him, the vocational stuff, the where and the when and the how, it works. It comes together. It's the relationship. Think about the greatest command in the Scriptures. I mean the two greatest commands. Tell me the first. You mean it doesn't say, serve the Lord? Relation. Relationship. That's why God made us. If he had wanted, you know, something else accomplished, if he needed, you know, some work done, why wouldn't he say, you know, the stars spread throughout the sky. Wow, isn't that amazing? Praise God. He doesn't need us. But he delights for a fellowship with the creatures he made in his own image. He made us to have fellowship. His will on this earth in daily life is far more a relationship than a mere vocation. Oh yes, he has a specific calling and he calls us to do certain things and to go certain places, to tell others about Christ in the mission field, in a occupation, in a trade. God uses people in real situations and he says, this is what I want you to do. But far more than the do is the being, number 9. God's will for my life is more being and becoming something with God than merely doing and achieving things for God. And so, are you walking in the will of the Lord? Jesus delighted to do the Father's will. Psalm 40, verse 4 through 8 is a beautiful passage. Jesus said, I delight to do thy will. And behold, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. You know, if it was Jesus' delight, I think that it ought to be ours to do his will. And so, are you walking in the will of God? Are you rooted in Christ? Are you rooted in his will? Thank you, Lord, for this time, for your Holy Spirit challenging our hearts. Thank you. Thank you once again for speaking to our hearts and lives. Lord, for those hearts that are tender here today, for those who are seeking, I am so thankful that with all confidence we can know that you will lead, you will guide those whose hearts are tender, those whose ears are listening to your voice, those whose eyes are looking to their master. You will guide us with your eye. You will lead us step by step in your plan. Help us to not sway away from your plan when it gets difficult, but in faith, in courage, dependence upon what you've shown us in the light, help us to walk step by step in obedience and in the fellowship of this beautiful relationship. Thank you for loving us. In the precious name of Jesus, I thank you. Amen.